Wyoming can no longer afford to spend as it has been. As our legislature seeks to find cuts, the one sacred cow is education. Education is of great importance, but after 10% cuts, the administrators are claiming, "We've cut to the bone. More cuts will force us to halt extracurricular activities and our children will suffer." Really? Over 25 years, education spending has grown from $5,000 to over $18,000 per student, and yet students aren't really doing any better. Education funds in Wyoming are based upon a model that looks at the number of students and then determines what staff is needed. Wyoming is short over 900 teachers, but the school districts are still being paid for the cost of those salaries and for health care benefits for teachers we don't have. Ask your legislature, where's that money going? Hi-de-ho, good neighbor. Welcome back to the Ramble Room. I'm sorry, Tim Allen just popped into my head and I couldn't help myself.
Oh?
It was awful. We had something we wanted to talk about, and of course we're here at the Ramble Room, Joseph and Sarah and Diane and myself. We hear a lot these days because Wyoming's income has taken a hit and not expected to ever recover to the numbers that it's been at over the last several years. Which means that our budget has to be cut, and indeed it does need to be cut. And I, for one, take a certain amount of delight in that because, in my opinion, government is vastly too big, too inefficient, spends too much money, and the opportunity to start making some actual meaningful cuts doesn't come along very often, especially in really good times like we've had over the last several years. As we begin to make these cuts, the governor came out right off the bat and began saying, we're going to ask all of these different departments of the state to cut 10%, cut whatever percentage he came out with. But the one thing he avoided was education. And it seems like the one sacred cow, the one thing that we don't dare mention that we could possibly cut, is education. Education, according to the Wyoming Constitution, is a requirement. The Wyoming Constitution does require that the state provide an education for any child in Wyoming who seeks one. Is that correct? I'm asking Diane because she most recently read the entire Wyoming Constitution, something which, if you've not done, I suggest you do.
Well, yes, all children are entitled to an education. They don't have to seek one. They have to go to school somehow. We have a compulsory education law. You have to be being educated somehow between the ages of 7 and 16, I think.
Well, a lot of kids go to school but don't seek an education, right, Joe?
That's me.
Yeah, ma'am. I was there too. What has happened over the last 25 years is actually quite startling. About 25 years ago, the state spent about $5,000 per student. In 2019, spent just short of $16,000 per student. And it's estimated that in 2020, we spent $18,200 per student. That's like a 50% increase. And you've heard that on this podcast before in just a matter of the last 6 or 8 years, actually. One of the first questions, yes, is what are we getting for our money? Okay, we're spending a lot more than we ever have before, so surely then the results must be spectacularly better. If you go back to the Wyoming Constitution, it sets a goal, and it says specifically, each district shall annually report to the Department of Education on the progress of each of its schools toward achieving the goal of 85% of all students reading at grade level upon completion of the third grade. And it goes on, progress toward achieving the goal of 85% proficiency in the specific skills known to be predictive of grade 3, and then it also checks it at, I think it's grade 8, and then it goes on and on and on. Each school not meeting the 85% goal specified under this subsection shall submit an improvement plan, blah, blah, yada, 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 yada. And yet, over the last 25 years, numbers have hovered very close to the same, meaning that we are somewhere around 40% proficient, which is less than half of the goal. Despite dumping exponentially more money into this program, we are actually getting only minor improvements of one, maybe 0.3, maybe 0.2%, depending on the particular cross-section that you look at. Now, I'm a contractor. When I pay somebody as a subcontractor and we have a deal, you're going to come in, you're going to do this, and this is the goal. And if you don't even do half of what I asked you.
And there's always a price on that, too.
Yes.
You're going to do it at this price.
Yes. If you don't do what I asked you to do, and you have exponentially increased over the last 6 or 8 years the cost of not doing what I asked you to do, how long am I going to keep you employed? How long am I going to offer you contract after contract? That's something that the Wyoming people need to be asking, and they need to be asking it quite seriously. There's a funding model in Wyoming, and the way that that works is we know how many students we have, and we know that we have an objective of having, say, anywhere between 12, 15, 20 students per teacher. And we know what we think a teacher should be paid. We know what we think an administrator should be paid. And so depending on the census, the population in any particular school district, we have a model that tells us what we ought to be spending, how many teachers we should have, and how that should work. And that's how the school districts are paid. So if we look at a particular school district and we say you need X amount of teachers, a librarian or several librarians, a certain number of aides, some secretary or clerical help, you might need some tutors, some teachers not of record, which are specialized teachers that do other projects. Anyway, we have a list. It's very similar for those of you that may have a military background, what we call an MTONE, which is basically a list of what you need to accomplish your mission. This is how many people you need, and this is the equipment you need. And what the state does is pay each school district for what this model says they should require. Everybody with me so far? Okay. So we know how many teachers we should have across the state. And at present, we're about 900 teachers short. We know how many librarians we should have across the state. And at present, we're about 200, a little less than 200 librarians short. I know. Diane's sitting over there in absolute shock and anguish.
Not just because it's librarians, but because how many librarians does it take? How many do we actually have?
Well, we may not have enough librarians, but we have a surplus, an abundance of media tech and staff.
Oh, good.
We've got a couple hundred extra of those. But the difference is, the problem is, one of the problems, there are a lot of problems, is that we pay the school districts according to the model. So if a school district is short 150 teachers, we pay not only the salary that those teachers would receive if they existed, even though they don't, we also pay for health insurance benefits. This goes on down the line. At present, if you count teachers and librarians and tutors, we're something like 1,200 short, and yet we are paying the school districts for those people. These school districts are spending that money. They're dumping it into a slush fund, and where does that money go? Well, I'm here to tell you that one place that it goes is to administration. We are extremely top-heavy on administration. I want to draw a little comparison.
By that, do you mean you think this money is going into the pockets of the administration?
Well,
not necessarily embezzling, but maybe a bonus at the end of the year.
The money is lining pockets, not necessarily in a criminal fashion, but let me give you an example. I have a military background, as you all know, and so I like to relate things to how the military works because that's very understandable to me. It was a part of my life for 10 years. A lieutenant colonel with about 15 years in the military makes about $108,000 a year. And he is generally responsible. He would be at the point in his career where he would be a battalion commander. As a battalion commander, he would command anywhere from 300 to 1,000 troops. So here's a lieutenant colonel. He's in charge of a battalion, somewhere between 300 and 1,000 people. And they determine he should make $108,000. Well, in their wisdom, the people that made this model determined that basically that same number, $108,000, is about what a school administrator should be paid for a normal school district that would have, and I think For example, Sheridan County School District number 2 has, I believe, 671 employees. So this guy is basically a battalion commander level as far as the number of people that he controls. Sheridan County School District number 2 administrator makes twice that, $216,000. He makes twice what a battalion commander would make. He works out of an air-conditioned office. A lieutenant colonel might be in a combat zone, and yet he only makes $108,000. Anybody see any disparity there?
I do see a little bit, yes.
Yes.
I'm too busy seething.
Part of the issue is they say, well, we need that kind of money to be able to pay the very best and brightest people.
Right, but money doesn't necessarily mean that things are being ran better.
No, we've made that point. Administrating a business of 600 to 1,000 people is not rocket surgery. It's not that difficult. Okay. Now, this doesn't mean to impugn anyone that is tasked to do that.
Right. It's an important job.
It is an important job, and but it's not that hard. Why are we paying? There are 25 school employees in the state of Wyoming who all make over $150,000 with a target somewhere around $108,000. If you go down the line, teachers are paid pretty much what they're supposed to be paid, a little better than that, which is okay. They're professionals. But the better the teachers are and the better they're paid, the less administration, the less oversight that they would need.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Sheridan County School District number 2, which happens to be run very well, I'm not at all criticizing the way that the administration has done it. They've been one of the most efficient school districts in the state. But why are we paying the guy twice what he's worth?
And not giving the teachers raises.
Why not pay the guy what he's supposed to be paid? And if he doesn't like that and you think he's better and brighter and he'd go find a better job, let him go find a better job somewhere. And then go ahead and hire the rest of the teachers that we're supposed to have so our class sizes are down to where they're supposed to be. Pay the teachers what they're supposed to be paid.
Yeah, take his wage and split it up.
You know, the argument about if we pay more, then we're getting the best and the brightest, that's the exact opposite of what I've heard people argue about teachers, is that only the people who really are passionate about it are going to be teachers because the pay is so bad.
Hey, if you pay me $216,000 for anything, I'm going to get passionate about it.
Yeah, I'm going to be teaching something.
I'm going to be the best sheetrocker you ever done saw. And I hate sheetrock.
That ain't enough money to make me sheetrock.
If you were making $216,000 sheetrocking, I would make you do it.
And she can, folks. She's got a pointy stick.
I've got all kinds of... I've read 300-400 pages of data and information on this, and all I can tell you is the more that I read, the more appalled that I am at the amount of waste and overspending and carelessness that is even in our school districts. Before we start talking about, as Representative Yin out of Jackson says, we have to have a state income tax of 4%. Before we ever start talking about that, let's take a good, serious look at how every department in the state government is handling their budget, where the money's going. Let's cut out the excess. Let's make it work effectively. And let's go back to the Constitution and say, hey, we're paying you people to produce an 85% success rate.
Right. Well, and this is the only job that you can do poorly and then ask the people you're doing the job for more money.
Well, maybe weathermen.
Well, yeah. Well, depends on where you're at.
Just off the top of my
head. The Florida weatherman's getting paid way too much. 50%.
Well, you can cut this if you want to, because maybe it's too mean. But the poor weather guy is working with nature. And it's kind of unpredictable. There's all kinds of stuff that happens that they have to put together and guess a lot. And you just can't know how it's going to happen. I've taught a lot of kids how to read. It's not unpredictable like the weather. There's a way that you do it.
Not
and
rocket
I have
surgery.
No. And I have had better than 85% success rate.
Yeah.
And I never made what teachers make.
Not that. Even close. Because if you did,
even close.
I'd be pushing you for administrator of the year.
Or making me sheetrock.
Yeah.
Can I just read something really quick? If you go to eto.wyoming.gov and you look up their directory, I'm going to read off some of the titles of some of these people. So there's a state superintendent. Most people know what that is. executive assistant, chief of staff, assistant to the chief of staff, chief policy officer, chief academic officer, assistant to the chief policy officer and chief academic officer, chief operations officer, assistant to the chief operations officer, human resources supervisor, human resource coordinator. That's just the first section. And then there's a whole section called accountability, communications, finance. This list is, I'm looking at page 12 right now.
And 13, we're just 14. Looking at schools at the moment. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean,
this isn't including all of the teachers and janitors and the people who are actually in the buildings. This is just
people telling the teachers what they should be doing. Yeah. Or they might not be doing anything at all.
That was, I think, not quite, because there's a couple of cover pages. I love it when they include those. About 8 pages of people with, frankly, ridiculous titles. Now, I don't mean to call anyone out personally or anything like that, but these are all the peoples, telling the teachers what to do, and the teachers already know what to do.
Right. And the teachers are doing all the work.
Right.
And getting the least of the pay.
Right.
They are, to be fair.
They are making good
wage. Teachers in Wyoming are making, when you compare it across the country and especially across the region, they're doing pretty well. I would maybe think they could do better. But the whole point of all we're saying here, and I don't want to drag this out forever, but the whole point is before you turn around and say, oh, we've got to have more taxes, we can't possibly cut this or we don't care about children, get the facts, look into it, dig into it, the information is there, and find out just how much of this crap is going on before they start coming back to your pocket. Now, here's the deal that's being proposed. The deal being proposed in the Wyoming State House is we're going to go ahead and cut education a certain percentage, somewhere around another 10%. And then on the other side of that, we're going to have a tax increase that will offset that. So basically, it'll be a wash, but so you're going to take a hit to begin with, but then the taxes start coming in and they'll pay you back. So really, we're going to be okay. So this is something that apparently everybody can accept, right? Well, the problem is you got a one-time cut and the tax is permanent. Enough of the foolishness.